Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 5 to, since we've been away from this for a couple of weeks, get our minds back into the reading and the Word of God here in this portion of Scripture. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But that's joined right with what he has said before. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, are not becoming one who is arrived as a child of God. It's not becoming, but rather giving of thanks. I can't think of better giving of thanks than it is joy unspeakable, full of glory. I've loved that song for many, many years. And I love to sing that song. Taken from the first letter of the Apostle Peter to those scattered abroad, those Jews scattered abroad in the first chapter. About verse 7 or 8, 9, somewhere in there. But the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, having read that portion of Scripture and should have jogged some memories, we talked about that we are, as followers of God, imitators of God. We're to be imitators of God. As what? As dear children. Just like we're His child. Amen. Well, as we've seen this morning, we're His little children. And being little children, we ought to be imitators of God. And we're to walk in love. Well, what kind of love? The same kind of love that Jesus Christ had for us. When He gave Himself an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet smelling savor. We're to walk in that kind of love, a sacrificing love. Giving ourselves to God. And if we've properly given ourselves to God, we'll properly give ourselves to one another. And that walk. Sweet smelling savor. We spent some time on that sweet smelling odor. You see, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people ascended up into the nostrils of God as a sweet odor. Amen. Unto God. It was pleasing unto Him. And if we're walking in that manner, imitating God, and in love as Christ hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, we will be abstaining from, we will forsake fornication, those self-sacrificing, those Well, the self-centered sins, fornication, all uncleanness, he said. That pretty much covers all kinds of filthiness of the flesh. Covetousness. I mean, the more I study about covetousness, boy, that gets right to the nitty-gritty. That covers all of our insatiable urges and desires. And we're lusting for more and more. Give me more. I'm coveting more. And that is even manifested when we're not satisfied with the providence of God to us in our lives, and we covet more than what He has given to us. That's just as wrong as coveting all these sexual sins that are listed here. He said, and let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, I shouldn't hear of it of you. You shouldn't hear of it of me. That any one of us have given into that. Amen. To walk that way. It ought to be disheartening. It goes to the message this morning. It ought to grieve our souls when we hear of it as to one another. And of course, then he goes into the next category. I mean, the fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, probably we could lump up by saying, well, that just is covering the doing. Well, and then the next batch of sins governs our conversation. Don't even be talking in that manner. Amen. Filthiness. Foolishness. We could classify it as foolish talking. It's what it is. And jesting. He says, rather than talking that way, give thanks.
Amen.
Give thanks unto God. Give thanks unto God for what He's done for you and for who you are because of Him. You see. We come to verse 5 today. And it continues this thought. The point I've titled this point on it concerning verse 5. You cannot coexist. Yeah, seeing the light bulb click on, Brother Ron. Yep. You cannot coexist. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance. No inheritance. In the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Amen.
You see, the kingdom of Christ and of God is a kingdom of light.
Amen.
The deeds of this world, the deeds of this body, this flesh, are of the kingdom of darkness. They're the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of, shall we say, Satan. His domain.
Amen.
His darkness. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness cannot coexist. You walk into this building when it's nighttime, when it's dark outside, and you flip on the lights through it, what happens? The darkness goes, leaves, it's gone. It cannot coexist with the light.
Unless you turn the light switch on and no light comes on. Then you got to track down, do we have the source? The energy that powers the light. Is this all correlating with our text? Should be. We got to trace down, do we have the source that powers the light? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 22 and 23, the light of the body is the eye. Thereby we comprehend light. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is, only towards the light. It is beholding the light. Thy whole body shall be full of light. You got that? But if thine eye be evil, if your eye be focused on darkness, and we're going to read scriptures that's going to bring this all together. But if thine eye be evil, be full of darkness, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What is he saying here? Light and darkness cannot coexist. And even as a child of God, light and darkness cannot coexist.
Amen. Then why does it seem to be coexisting in the realm of the Christian world? Something's wrong somewhere. Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1. In him was life. In who was life? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness. He came to a dark world. He is the light, life of light. And the darkness comprehended it not. The source was good. The light was there. But the darkness didn't lay hold on it. Why? Well, look with me at chapter 3. In verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. We just read it in the first chapter.
Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light came into the world, it shone, and the darkness comprehended it. Why? Comprehended it not. Why? Because the deeds of men were evil, and they did not love the darkness. I mean, they loved the darkness because their deeds were evil.
So the darkness did not lay hold of the light. Jesus said this, though, in the 8th chapter, in verse 12. He said this, he said, I am the light of the world. That's what we were told in the first chapter of the book of John. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me is a follower of mine, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
He does not walk in darkness because he has the light of life, which is Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen.
And so what's that saying? It is saying that light and darkness do not coexist.
Amen.
So, if we have a Christian world, shall we say the kingdom of God? Well, let's say the quote Christian world. And there seems to be so many that are coexisting with light and darkness. What's that tell us?
Wrong.
Something's wrong.
Amen.
Something's wrong. And it's probably just the latter. Because they're walking in darkness.
Amen.
They're manifesting that they're not of the light. They don't have the light of life within them. Look what he tells us in the last book of the Bible. One book with 66 little books in it. The 66th book of the one book in chapter 21. Chapter 21. In verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that has the light of life in him, he has Christ, the light of the world. He is an overcomer. Because he walks not in darkness. You see? And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We are the sons of God. How is it manifest that we are the sons of God? We are overcomers. Why are we overcomers? Because we're manifesting that we have the light of life. We do have the light of Jesus Christ shining in our souls.
Amen.
It cannot coexist.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They do cannot coexist.
Amen.
Do you have the light of life?
Yes.
Do I have the light of life? Not going to be any coexistence with darkness. There's not going to be a one that has the light of life be found in the lake of fire. And there's not going to be a one that has not the light of life, that's walking in darkness, be found in eternal life with God. A God of light. There's not going to be any darkness there at all. And you can continue to read that 21st chapter. There's not going to be any darkness there at all. For Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the light of that city and of the world. And there's no need for the sun, moon, star.
Just think about that. In going over this, this was prepared weeks ago. And going over yesterday afternoon, my mind just went to the universe. The atmospheric heaven. Not the atmospheric, the celestial heaven. The sun. The moon and the stars. This speaks to you and I, folks. There's only one source of light. The sun. In the universe, the S-U-N, in the kingdom of God and family of God, there's only one source of light. Jesus Christ. All the stars, moon, are reflectors.
Amen.
Reflectors of that light.
Amen.
I think that's another point down the way I got ahead of myself. You and I are to be reflectors of the light of Jesus Christ. If He, in fact, is shining in our hearts, shining in our souls.
Then he goes on to say, for this ye know, he started out with, for this ye know. That is, being Christians, born again, members of the Lord's church, children of light, having the light of life, walking in love and purity and justice. For this you know. They are not ignorant of these facts. They're not ignorant of these truths. This phrase here, for this you know, in the RSV reads, be sure of this. Now get this. Be sure of this. ESV, it reads, for you may be sure of this. And in the Weymouth translation, it is read, for be well assured. For this ye know. He's talking about that which is an assurance. You know it. Most assuredly. And refers to the vices previously mentioned. At their works of darkness. Their works of those that love their evil deeds. And so walk in darkness. This you know assuredly. This you are assured of, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person,
these are those that are guilty of all kinds of sexual immorality. Turn with me back to the book of Leviticus. I mean, the scriptures get pretty explicit. In chapter 18, and we're probably going to end up reading most of the chapter. I thought about cutting off the first five verses, but I thought, no, that lays the groundwork for the next 24 or so verses. He says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, after the doings of the world, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither ye go, where we're dwelling now. Shall ye not do." In other words, the land that you're going into, don't do their customs. And the land you came from, don't do their customs. We came out of the world. We're not to be doing the customs of the world. John chapter 15 this morning, we referenced verses 18 and 19. "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord."
Amen.
You don't do the things of the world. I'm your Lord and Savior. You do my judgments, my statutes, my commandments.
Amen.
He said. Now, what is that? "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." You shall not lie with any of near of kin. And he's going to set forth what he's talking about. The nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother, shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, which is not your mother, shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister and daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. You shall not lie with any of them.
Amen.
The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter. You say, "I wouldn't think of doing such a thing." Well, folks, let me tell you, it not only was going on in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, into which they were to go into, and that was the reason why he gave them into the land of Canaan, because their deeds were wicked and evil. But it's going on in our land today.
Amen.
And has been for some time. "And even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father," your half-sister, "she is your sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness." comes to mind quickly, Ammon. Ammon loved his sister Tamar, just a half-sister. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman, your aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, your aunt on your mother's side. For she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother, your uncle. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, your aunt by marriage. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Oh, you can't lie with your sister-in-law. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswoman. It is a wickedness. You see, he's weeding out about everything. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. It doesn't mean just the woman that lives next door. Your neighbor is your fellow man. All your fellow men. If they're married, it's hands off. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. This is the Word of God, and men don't like the Word of God today. They don't want to hear these things. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. You say that is despicable. That is horrible. That is gross. Listen, I tell you, it is going on. It went on back in these days, and it has continued on to this present day. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Get that. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for the nations that I drive out before you, they are defiled. And that's why he was driving them out. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. And I say unto you, if the land was defiled back then, nearly 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago,
3,500 years ago, if the land was defiled then, is it not defiled today?
Amen.
And he said the land is even going to vomit him out. What's that say for the land we dwell in? Well, let's move on. And you could read in the 20th chapter of Leviticus, if there be found any of these things that we read to you in the 18th chapter, if it be found in Israel, what was to happen to them? And it was certain death to all of them. And even to those that lie with the beast, they and the beast was to be killed, be put to death. Why? It defiles the land. It is an abomination to God. And I say to you this afternoon that God has not changed.
Amen.
He is the same God He was then. He's the same God today. If it was an abomination to Him then, it's an abomination to Him now.
Amen.
And listen, don't be so naive as to think that some of God's people, at least so-called, aren't getting messed up with these kind of things. They are. And don't be so naive as to think, well, it's not happening in any of our churches. Because, brethren, it is. It is there. Moving on, said, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. You see, they have insatiable urges for all these sins that we just read to you from the book of Leviticus in chapter 18. They're just craving more and more and more. They're not satisfied with what God has provided them, what God has given unto them. Listen, it is idolatry. It's against God. They're worshiping the desires and passions of the flesh and not God.
Yes.
And I say unto you, they cannot coexist.
Amen.
They are the works of darkness. If you have the light of life, you can't do the works of darkness. You don't want to do the works of darkness.
Furthermore, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And he said, you know these things assuredly. You are assured of these things. That they that do such things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ.
Amen.
These things are not becoming to a child of God. They're not becoming a child of light. And all who live in them and die in them have no inheritance. They have no right to an inheritance with the true children of light in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Revelation chapter 21. Well, we read to you there, verse 8. There was a separation. Those that were of God, children of light. In verse 7, verse 8, those that are workers of darkness because they love their evil deeds.
And they live their life in that condition and they die in that condition. They're going to the lake of fire. Not just for a time, but for eternity. They shall have a body fitted to never be consumed in the flames of fire. You know, I think about it. Years ago, you used to hear a lot of hellfire preaching. You don't hear that anymore. All you hear anymore is, well, God's a God of love. Well, He loves everybody. Well, not according to my Bible.
Amen.
There are some He loves. Thank God they're not going to spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
In the lake of fire. But those He doesn't love, it's just abiding and waiting the day of His wrath, when it shall be poured out. Chapter 22 of Revelation. Chapter 22 and verse 15. He said this. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You see, all workers of darkness. They're without. They're without the kingdom of Christ and of God. They don't coexist. These words do not mean all who have been guilty of these sins. For in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, it said, and ye, you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And notice what He says was typical of them before they were given life. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also are all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, we were walking in darkness, and we were walking in darkness because we loved our evil deeds, which we did. But then the light shone. Light shone and dispelled the darkness. We saw our great sin. We saw Jesus Christ as the remedy, dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And so He said in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, and after in verses 9 and 10, stating some horrible sins, you know that none of these things, people that do these things shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And He says, and such were some of you. But now they're not. They're not workers of darkness. And they were once. They did those very things. They were fornicators. They were adulterers. They were homosexuals. They were once. Some of them. Were, and such were some of you, but now ye are washed. Ye are clean. Praise God. I'm washed. Romans chapter 6. We'll close with this. In verse 17, it says, but God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, we don't have to yield to sin. No. We can yield to righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, that is what we did in times past. Even so now, you're born again. You're cleansed, you're washed. Yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. Why? There can be no coexistence of light and darkness. God's Word says so. God's Word says so. It's just a fact of matter. You see, if we have the light of life, it dispels the darkness, those dark deeds. We no longer desire to walk in those things. Shall we be dismissed?